Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Philadelphia is David Brent. David is Vice President of Business Development for ERI. David, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, Adam. It's my pleasure.
So today we're going to be talking about what do you do with your old technology. Oftentimes companies have strategies for how often they rotate in and out laptops, phones, and other devices. And then those phones and devices go away. But as it turns out, how you dispose of them can be very important for a lot of different reasons. David, can you quickly go through what the current laws are for what needs to be done with gear that's no longer needed from a data security perspective?
Yes. The issue regarding data security and safe disposal of protected information is covered by a wide variety of both federal and state law. So when we talk about GLBA, HIPAA High Tech, GDPR, FACTA, and the FTC final disposal rule, all of those regulations will provide for a reasonableness standard for the disposal of protected information. In addition, 32 states have data disposal laws regarding personal information, and 31 of those states specifically apply to electronic media. So ultimately, regardless of federal or state law, there's a reasonableness standard that essentially requires destruction or erasure such that the information cannot be practically either read or reconstructed.
So bottom line is, before you sell off that equipment, you got to make darn sure that all of the data is off of it.
That is correct.
And then, are there environmental requirements too? I mean, here we're talking not so much about stuff that you're going to resell, but stuff that's, you know, destined for the landfill.
Yes, actually, there's environmental concerns both from a compliance standpoint, regulatory, as well as ethics. There is an ethical concern as well. Best place to start is that your listeners may not be aware of is roughly 2% of the electronic waste, e-waste, is part of the stream going to landfills. However, 70% of the toxic metals found in landfills come from e-waste. So for that reason, there are 18 states plus the District of Columbia that have various landfill bans on disposal of electronics. And in addition, you have federal law, RCRA, and for your listeners, that's the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, administered by the EPA, that also controls the hazardous waste going to landfills, including CRTs and related hazardous electronic waste.
So bottom line there is, you got to, you know, it's not something you can just throw in the bin. You got to make sure it's handled properly. So also, as we were preparing for this podcast, you pointed out that, you know, while people tend to think of, as you talked about, CRT, you know, old cathode ray tube technology, but also phones and laptops, they're not the only devices people need to worry about, that there's actually a lot more of them than you might think at first blush may have data or other things to worry about.
Yes. The one thing to note is it's a mix of new and old. Specifically, there is the acceleration of technology, which everyone is aware that we have smaller and smaller devices and larger memory capacity in those devices. So when we think of your standard laptop, cell phone, your potential handheld devices, yes, they have memory, but printers, enterprise printers, have hard drives. Even that 3-in-1 printer that wirelessly connects to the network is going to store through flash memory potential network addresses, passwords, and the like. So you have serious concerns about the proliferation of smaller and smaller devices. Take, for instance, the USB flash drive. They can achieve memory sizes of 256 gig now, which is a substantial amount of data. Projectors also are a potential memory bearing device. And then you have the old equipment. So that old funny looking reel, tape reel in the back storage room may actually be backup from servers from many years ago. Same thing with CD-ROM drive storage devices as well.
Wow. And then, of course, you know, photocopiers are basically scanners these days, and they are full of data too, correct?
Yes, exactly. So you have, depending on your level of security, an organization may even have to worry about things like television monitors, CRTs, where there could be burn-in on the screen. And in fact, there's federal government guidance on disposal of such devices based on that risk.
Wow. It's amazing how much stuff collects data that we don't even think about out there. So there's vendors who take care of this for companies, and you know, yours is one of them, which is how we met. But what do businesses need to consider when hiring a vendor?
Right. There's several considerations. The primary that an organization should consider when outsourcing to a service provider for data destruction and responsible disposal of electronic equipment is their certifications. Unfortunately, over the last several years, over 130 service providers for e-recycling and IT asset disposition have either gone bankrupt, been fined, been decertified, or have been caught exporting e-waste, electronic waste, to developing nations. So it is a situation where when selecting a service provider, first you look at face validity through certifications. The key certifications are responsible recycling, known as R2. It's actually R2-2013. You have e-stewards certification. And you have NAID, AAA certification. The latter, NAID, National Association for Information Destruction certification, is the premier standard for data destruction. Both the e-stewards and R2, however, do have data guidance on data disposal, data destruction, as well as an environmental focus. So primary is the certification, and then from there, the certification needs to essentially to be verified that the practices of those certifications are being followed. So that's going to include the physical security, physical controls, as well as the information management.
So bottom line is make sure that they're doing that, one, that they're certified, two, that they're doing what they're supposed to. In many ways, it's like treating any other third-party vendor. You got to do your due diligence and verify that they do what they say they can do.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, for under all the regulations, data controller will be responsible for mistakes made by the third party. Adequate due diligence is required.
So it's a lot of ways. It's like third-party risk for anti-corruption or human trafficking. So what are some of the due diligence steps that a company should take then when trying to assess if a company really is doing what it says it's supposed to be doing?
Yes, and this becomes a key issue because oftentimes I'll participate in a paper audit where you're providing information in response to an RFI or an RFP, and it becomes a checkbox. Do you comply? Do you not export? Do you follow appropriate standards? That simply isn't enough. My recommendation for any compliance professional is to physically inspect and verify. So that means Not only going through the paper trail, if you will, but physically going to the facility, observing the security measures in place, and also following what we refer to as the downstream. So you may have a vendor that does the IT asset disposition, including data destruction, data sanitization. But where does the electronic equipment go after that? If there are vendors that have fully integrated capabilities, there are others that actually outsource downstream to e-recyclers, who then in turn may have a further downstream. So it's important for a compliance professional to really follow that downstream and know where their assets are actually going.
Yeah, sounds like it's fine. We talk a lot about third party risk, and I think here we're up to fourth and fifth parties. So, when we were getting ready for this call, I think it bears noting and repeating some of the scary stories you told me about where stuff can end up if you're not careful.
Yes, currently there are significant efforts to try to track where e-waste is going. There is an organization, the Basel Action Network, ban.org, that has over the last couple of years been putting trackers, GPS trackers, on electronics going for recycling. And they've shown up in Thailand, in Hong Kong, in China, the Philippines, and in Africa, including Ghana. And one of the most disturbing stories is that while following that environmental trail, you'll find hard drives that are for sale in open markets. You find open pits, burning wire, releasing dioxins into the atmosphere, and in one case, in Ghana, hard drives were purchased from an open air market, and it turns out they were hard drives from a government contractor that included classified information. And so, not only is it a risk to the brand, but it's a clear data security breach. And in the case of Ghana, there are known cyber criminal rings that actually purchase those hard drives, for very, very small amounts, dollar amounts, and have the ability to search them and find personal information.
Wow. Well, scary stuff. Thank you for making us aware of all of it. I think it'll give people something new to think about as they deal with, what's going to happen to all those devices that are around our office and reaching their sort of end of life within the company, though certainly not their end of life from a risk perspective. So, again, David, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.